Today's shir is Masech Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chavav. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Chavav, Amar Aleph, at the top line, Amar Afun Amar Rav. We continue to discuss the halacha of the Bechor, that the Bechor, as we have been learning, gets Pishnaim, gets a double shir in the estate of his father. But the Gemara continues to discuss under what circumstances. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Asi. If, as we discussed, if the estate, the assets of the father were improved after the father passed away, it opens up a discussion, is that considered roi or muksik? Is the bechor entitled to pishnayim in those assets? So in order to avoid this type of a discussion, the bechor told his brothers, before they divided the estate, as soon as the father passed away, he said to them, don't do any improvements, because if you're going to do any improvement, we're going to have a question of, do I deserve pishnaim and anat or not? And therefore, don't do any improvement. So says the Gemara, that's the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Chanana learns the Gemara. It's connected to what we're going to learn later in our shir. If the Bechor forfeited his right in one part of the estate, what does that mean? Does it mean that he forfeited all of his double rights or only in that? And here he made, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that statement before they became close to dividing the estate. But again, we're going to learn the Rashbam. Like the Rashbam learns, the Bechor made this declaration to his brothers, don't make any improvement. Because if you're going to make an improvement, we're going to have a problem. What should be the status of that improvement? Says the Gemara, Micha. Bechor shemicha micha. If the Bechor makes that type of a declaration, then the halacha is that it's considered a valid declaration. And as we're going to see, under many circumstances, if the brothers do go and make the improvement, even though we could say that normally the Bechor may not be entitled to the improvement, here, because he made this declaration, he will be entitled to the improvement. Again, Amar Afun Amar Vasi, Bechor Shemicha, a Bechor made this declaration, Micha, it's considered a valid declaration. Amar Rabba, to which Rabba comments, B'stamatam d'Ravasi, when do I accept this halacha d'Ravasi said? Ba'novim u'batzrim. If there were grapes that the Bechor made this declaration about, and they cut down those, and they cut the grapes. Now, of course, cutting the grapes comes with a value that they go up, because there's an expense in cutting the grapes. But oizaisim, or we speak about olives or muscum, and they were cut. So in all these cases, it is not considered a significant improvement. It didn't change the grape. It didn't change the olive. And therefore, the halacha is that the Bechor, because he made this declaration, will get them as they are. There will not be issue of shvach. However, the Rashbam does point out that he will have to reimburse his brothers for the expense that they had in cutting the grapes and in cutting down the olives. That much he's going to have to reimburse them. Aval darchem, if they had squeezed the grapes to make them to wine, loy, then the halacha is that that's considered very different. Because it's not what he spoke about. The grapes that are squeezed are wine. Olives that are squeezed are oil. And the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, that the brothers who did this, who should certainly not have done it, are considered gizlonim. They are considered people who are thieves. They had no right to do so. But as we learned extensively in Masechta Bava Metzia, that if somebody is a gazlan, he's koina, he becomes the owner of the object that he stole, with shinui maisa, by doing something like we had in our Gemara, by changing the olives into oil, changing the wine into grape. And therefore, here the halacha is, they become the owners of the grapes, of the wine and the oil, but they have to reimburse them the value of the grapes and the olives. Of course, the Rishonim point out that, let's say, the value of the oil, for whatever reason, the value of the grapes, the oil, the wine, is less than the value of the oil or of the olives or the grapes, the Bechar has a right to say, you have to pay me as much as they were worth. I'm not entitled maybe to this improvement, but I'm certainly not obligated to take a loss. Rabbi Yosef Amar, afilu darchem, even if they had squeezed them, the Bechar is entitled to get it seems posh pshat that he's entitled to get the oil or the wine. Says the Gemara, how could Rabbi Yosef explain the Gemara that way? Darchem, if they had made them into oil or to wine, then not what we began with. Because Mikar Invi, at the beginning we started with grapes and Hashta Chamra, and now we have wine. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's certainly considered an act of a Shinui Maisa. And since that's considered an act of Shinui Maisa, everybody agrees, as we quoted the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia earlier, that it becomes the property of the Gezlonim. They just have to pay back the value of what they stole. Answers the Gemara, what Rabbi Yosef meant, that even Dorchum, it doesn't mean that the brother, this Bechor who made this declaration, is entitled to the wine, is entitled to the oil. Of course, he's not entitled to the wine and the oil. What it means here is, Liten loy demei hezek anovav, that if, as we said, the value of the grapes is greater than the value of the wine, then he's entitled to get that value. That, as Rav Ukva Bar Chama explained that elsewhere, says the Gemara Hachinami, what Rav Yosef means here is that he should get noisen loy demei hezek anovav. He should get the value of the grapes that were taken away, that he declared are his, and that they shouldn't do any improvement on. Ask the Gemara, where did Rav Ukva Bar Chama say this explanation? Heichi itmed Rav Ukva Bar Chama, says the Gemara, he said it regarding Ahad Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul. Becharu Poshet, Shenichu Lohem Avim, and Novim Abotram. And you have two brothers, one is a Becharu, and one is not a Becharu, and the father left them grapes that were cut, or zeisim and moskim or owls that were cut. Bechor noit opnei shnayim, the bechor gets a double portion in those grapes, even though those grapes and olives, we could certainly suggest, have been improved. They've been improved because they were originally grapes on the tree, olives on the tree, and now they're not a cut. But as we explained, they're still the same grape, they're still the same olive. And yes, we also said that the Bechor is going to have to reimburse the brother who went through the bother and the expense of doing this, he's going to have to do. He's going to have to reimburse them for that, and after he reimburses them, he gets a full share of the grapes and the olives. But, afilu darchem, but how could you say if they turn it into wine or to oil? Now it's a whole different being. Mikara envy. Originally we had grapes here. Hashta chamra. Now we have wine. So that's an act of gezela, and that should change the entire story. To which Rav Akiva Bar Chama said that you're right. Of course, if it turned into wine, it's a situation of gezela that the bechor is not entitled. What he means is, if the wine is less valuable than the grapes, then the Bechor will have to get back the value, will get back that full value. If a Bechor chose to take one portion, not to take the double portion, Viter, the halacha is that he gives up the rights to his double portion. Because the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, we've spoke about this on Daf Kuf Chof Dalet. The Gemara says that the Pasuk, when it describes the share that the Bechor is entitled to, the Torah used the word losses loy. Losses loy, the Gemara said, is a matana. It's considered a gift. And since it's considered a gift, the Bechor has a right to refuse a gift. It's not the same, explained Rishonim, as Yerusha. Yerusha is something that's yours midaraisa. If you don't want it, you have to give it away with a proper kinyan, because it's yours. You can't just say, I don't want it. By a gift, you could decline the gift. So now ask the Gemara, my viter, what is the definition when Rav Asi says viter? Says the Gemara, Papa Mishmei Durava Amma Viter by Sosoda. There were a number of fields, and he declined his extra share in one specific field. So says the Gemara, Vita by Sosoda. That is what he declines. It has nothing to do with the other assets, properties that the father left over. And Rapapi Mishmei Durava Amma, Vita B'chol Nekosim Kulam. Once he declined in this right in one field, it represents that he declined the Bechaira entirely. And the Gemara explains the basis of this Machlokes. Rapapi Mishmei Durava Vita B'chol Sada Kasava Ein Lo Bechor Kodim Chaluka. The Bechor has no ownership on anything until it's divided. And since he has nothing until it's actually divided, every asset only, this is the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara, every asset only as it's divided does he get his extra share. And at that point, he gets that extra share, and he could decline that matana. But that is only relevant to the field that is being discussed, and his declining his extra share. And Rapapi Mishmei Rav Amar Vita B'Kol Nechasim Kulam, once he shows that he's declining in one field the extra share that he is entitled to, it affects all of his properties, because Kesavar, Rapapi's opinion is Yesh Lo L'Bechor Kodem Chalukah, the Bechor already has ownership from the beginning. And even before it was divided, it doesn't need the act of dividing to make him the owner. And therefore, since we don't need the act of dividing to make him the owner, this is a declaration that he makes as the father passes away. And once he made the declaration regarding one property, it's obvious that he meant everything. So Rashba asks a question. He says, it would make sense that the earlier this Bechor makes this declaration, the more powerful of a declaration it is. So if that's the case, why does Rapapa ask the Rashba say that if he made the declaration not at the time of division, it's not a valid declaration? Or even if he made it at the time of the division, it only applies to what he is speaking about and nothing else. Shouldn't it be that the earlier you make that declaration, you say, I don't want my chelik b'charasoi, shouldn't that be even more a proof that he doesn't want anything? So the Rashba says that if indeed he says that I am declining this matana that the Torah gave me of Bechaira, if he was very clear that that's what his intent, so the fact that we are or not are up to the time of division would be immaterial. And that would be a very valid declaration. The Gemara over here is speaking about a case where he didn't make such a broad, strong statement. I don't want to have my Bechaira. He only made a statement as they're dividing the property. And since they're only making the statement as they're dividing the property, so therefore, says Rapapa, we say it's only on this property. And Rapapi says, no, once you begin dividing the properties, that means that it's the time for you to make your declaration. And since it's the time that it's the time to make that declaration, then the halacha is that the declaration is valid for all the fields. But indeed, says the Rashba, if you made that declaration explicitly, if the Bechor made that explicit declaration, of course it would be on everything. But says the Gemara, this machlokes that we just had of Rapapi, Rapapa, and the way the Gemara explained their machlokes, says the Gemara, Laba Fereshitma, we did not hear this explanation explicitly from them, El Mechlol Itma, we only learned it from something that they discussed. Says the Gemara, the Hahu Bechor the Azul Zav and Nichsa, the day of the Pashat. A Bechor went and sold off, they did not divide the estate yet, and he went and sold off an entire field. His share and the share that his brother, who's not a Bechor, everything he sold off, and he did not do this with the permission of his brother, but he did intend to give the brother a share, the share that he's entitled to. V'azal yasv b'nei poshet l'meichel tamri, and the simon, the children of the brother, what happened was the brother who he was supposed to divide and had every intention to divide and give his brother the share that he's entitled to passed away. So now that brother's children, his Yesoimim, take over their father's place. So what happened here was, says the Gemara, V'oz l'yasmeh b'nei poshel l'machle tamri, they wanted to eat dates from this field, mehani l'kuchas, and they went to the people who bought this property, mechunu, then not only did they take their dates that they felt they were entitled to, they even mechunu, they hit the person who bought it. Amlo Kroivim, the people who are relatives of these Yesoivim, said to the people who bought this property, Loimestein des Dinan Achsayu. So what happened was the people who bought it fought back against the Yesoivim. So the Kroivim of those Yesoivim said to these individuals who had bought this property, Loimestein des Dinan Achsayu, not only did you do the wrong thing in buying this property just from the Bechor, and now, Michsanami Mechisalu, you're hitting the Yesoimim, says the Gemara, Osla Kamei de Rava. So this entire situation was brought to Rava. And Amalo, and Rava's statement was, like Osla Leklum, that the Bechor, what he did not accomplish anything. But now, it's not clear what did Rava mean when it said, like Osla Leklum, says the Gemara. Mar, Rapapi held Loyosu Kluma Palga, on half of the Yerusha. The Yerusha of the Bechor has two parts in it. There's the part that he gets as a son, and there's the part that he gets as a Bechor. So he can't sell off the part that he's a regular Yerushin until he has the consent of all the brothers. Because Ein Loy Klum Koidim Chaluka, until it's divided, he doesn't have any share here. But on the part that he is entitled to because he is a Bechor, that even though the estate was not yet divided, still, says the Gemara, he has that share, and that portion of the Yerusha, which really means a third of the sale, is valid sale. Because again, if there were two brothers, so we look at it as if there were three shares, so the Bechor is getting two shares. One share he's getting as a Bechor, and one share he's getting as a son. So the Gemara is saying the share that he's getting as a son, he has no right to sell until the estate is properly divided. But the share that he's entitled to as a brother, as a Bechor, that the Gemara is saying he gets even before the actual Bechor, it was divided. So this is a proof that the Bechor is entitled to his share even before Chalukah. Omar Sover and Rapapa held Bekula, that the Bechor has nothing. Because Rapapa's opinion is, when Rav said Le'osav Le'klum, it means that until this is divided, the Bechor has absolutely no rights. And since at that the Bechor has no rights, the entire sale is Rav meant to say was an invalid sale. So says the Gemara, Shalchem Itam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael the following ruling. B'chor shemacha kadim chaluka, if a b'chor sells off his share before they divided the estate, loy osaklum, it's a meaningless act. Alma, obviously, their opinion was that ein loy l'b'chor, not only does the b'chor not have any rights to his share as a son before the division takes place, but even to his share that he has as a b'chor, ein loy l'b'chor kadim chaluka, he's not entitled to anything. However, says the Gemara, the Hilchasa, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is, yesh lebechor kodem chaluka, he is entitled to something, to his share, the bechor share, before the division. Says the Gemara, mazotra midirishba, polig b'tzana de palpali, b'hadi achim b'shava. He was a bechor, this mazotra, and the father had left over a basket full of pepper, and the brother, the Bechor said, I am prepared just to take a third, just to take one shear, not to get the share of the Bechor. Asla Kamei, the Rav Ashi, and now he came to Rav Ashi with a question, what does that say to the other assets that the father left over? Omalei, and Rav Ashi responded, Hoyel v'yitarta b'mixis, since you were mevater in this case, so we're going back to the beginning of the sugya, then the halach is v'kaat b'chalam chasam kulam. It means that you mevater on your b'chayra entirely. Says the Mishnah, ha'im ish ploini b'ni b'char. If somebody says that this son, this individual, is my son who's a b'char, but I don't want him to get la'yita pishnaim. I don't want him to get the double shear. Ish ploini b'ni la'yerish emechav. This person should not get a shear with his brothers. His statement is an invalid statement. You cannot change what the Torah said is the Hilchos Yerusha. We've mentioned, and we will mention, and we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, on Daf Kuf Lamed, a machlokes between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan Abroika, if one, even though he's following the Hilchos Yerusha, could say that I want to give my Yerusha only to one of the Yorshim. Rabbanan say you cannot. Rabbi Yochanan Mabraika says you can. So at first glance, our Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rabbanan. You can't make any variation in the Hilchos Yerusha, and by saying that Bechor should not get his share, or that one son should not get a share, is changing the Hilchos Yerusha. So at first glance, our Mishnah would not be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Mabraika. Rabbi Yochanan Mabraika says as long as what you're doing keeps the Yerusha amongst Yorshim, it's fine. Says the Rashbam that we could say that our Mishnah could follow even the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Mabraika. Because he explains, when did Rabbi Yochanan Mabraika say his halacha? Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broicha said his halacha in a case where he said, I want to give you more. But when he said it in a negative, he said not to give to this Bechor, not to give to that son, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you can't make that kind, that's not an acceptable statement. So the Ramban says, in the Pasuk, he says, the Torah says, if a person has multiple wives, and the wife who's a snua, we're going to speak about what that means, has the bechor, he is the bechor. And Ramban says a very, very big chiddush. Ramban says, as we just learned in our Mishnah, we can't manipulate the halacha b'chayra. The Bechor is not able to give, a father can't take away the Bechor from his son. However, says the Ramban, yes, we've learned, and we had a raya from the story of the Benoit Salofchot, that if the Bechor passes away, that share that the Bechor is entitled to goes on to his children. But there, says the Ramban, the halacha it would be that the father can take away the shear of the Bechaira. It's not considered going against Masna Mashakos B'Torah. It's only considered Masna Mashakos B'Torah in a case that where the Bechor is still alive. And Reb Shaya Pick brings a raya to that sack of the Ramban from the wording of our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, Ish Ploini B'ni Bechor. Why did the Mishnah use the wording Ish Ploini B'ni Bechor? So says the Ramban, the Mishnah used that word because he said B'ni, because the son was here. If the son were no longer alive, says the Ramban, there would be no question that he is not, that he, even if the son weren't here, then we can manipulate. The Tzoyf quotes the Shas Tshuvas Marit that says that we don't follow the opinion of the Ramban, and he says that the Bechor is a Bechor even if he's no longer alive. But it's interesting that the Tzoyf points out that the Marit does not quote the Ramban. So what the Tzoyf means to ask is, what would be if the Marit would have seen the Ramban? Would he still hold his position, or would he continue to disagree with the Ramban? Says the Mishnah, if you have a Shchimera, and we have throughout Shas, the Divrei Shchimera K'ksuvim K'msurim Dami, that even though normally to make a transaction, a kinyan is required, a Shchimera doesn't mean to make a kinyan. So Mechalek and Chosva Alpev, if somebody is giving out his assets, Ribel Echad, Amid Echad, he gives one of his children a larger portion, he gives one of his children a smaller portion that he's entitled to, and the Rashbam says it's not only such a case, but even in a case where he gives it all to one of his sons and nothing to another son, or Hishvelan as a Bechor, he says that a Bechor should get an equal share to everyone else, Dvarav Kayomim. Because here, he's not saying it as Yerusha. He's saying it as halacha, as a gift. And therefore, what the Gemara is teaching us here is, this is where we encounter the halachic will. That if he's giving it to them, that is as a gift. You could, as long as it's given as a gift, and it's given during lifetime, then the halacha is we follow whatever his instructions is. But therefore, says the Mishnah, if this person who's making this will and testament, Imam Mishem Yerusha, if he's saying I want it to be divided as a Yerusha, there, like Amaklum, there halacha is that what he said is meaningless. Here, point out the Rishonim of the Rashbam, this certainly cannot follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breika. Because here, Rabbi Yochanan Breika's opinion is that if you're manipulating the Yerusha, but you're keeping it within people who are Yarshim, you're allowed to do so. And therefore, when the Mishnah says here, Lo Yamaklum, it's only following the Pinyan of Chachamim. Says the Mishnah further, if he used the word Yerusha, but he also in his gift used the word Matana, then Dvarav Kiyamim, then it's again, as we said, it'll be fine. And the Gemara will explain this more. Says the Gemara, Lamech Masnisa like Rabbi Yehuda. It seems that our Mishnah is not consistent, says the Gemara, with the opinion of Yehuda. Dik Rabbi Yehuda, if we want to say it's following Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, B'davash of a moment to Noi Koyim. There's a question throughout Shas. If a person, as we learned in the Mishnah, cannot make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah. The question is, if it affects financial matters, can you? And is Machlokes or Meir Rabbi Yehuda, will that be acceptable? Where do we find this Machlokes? Says the Gemara, Tanya, Imel Isha, somebody as he's marrying a woman says to her, Harei at Mekudeshes Li, Amnash Ein Licholai Sher Ksus Fa'ina. The Torah HaKadosh says that every husband is obligated to give his wife share, support, food, Ksus, clothing, Fa'ina, and have relations. The halacha is, Harezim Kedeshes, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin, the Tanai bottle, but the Tanai is nullified. You can't make a Tanai against what it says in the Torah. The Yudaimer, the Davish of a Mama, when it speaks about financial situations, Tanai Koyim, and therefore explains the Rashbam, that As far as the Sher Ksus, such a condition would be acceptable. As far as the Oina, that's not a Dovah Shebe Mamon, and even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not a vowel tonight. So the Rishonim make a number of points. Even if somebody made this condition, would, as we learn throughout Shas, based on the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, how a condition, how a halachic condition has to be articulated, even if it was articulated with all of those halachas, but still, since it's a Tanai, a mashakosa b'Torah, so you can't make such a Tanai, says Rameyer, and even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if it's not a Dovash of a Mammon, the Tanai is not a valid Tanai. But the question is, yes, we could say that the Tanai is not a valid Tanai because it's Master Mashakos b'Torah. But it's clear, asked the Rishonim, that this man only wanted to marry this woman based on these circumstances. So if the marriage can't take place that way, so there should be no marriage. Why is Rameyer saying that the marriage is a marriage, but the Tanai is bottled? So the Rishonim say that the truth of the matter is that the entire concept of Tanoim, the entire concept of being able to make a condition, is a chiddush. A deal is a deal. The fact that you could add conditions is a very big chiddush. And therefore, says Rameyer, when you're masna mashakos b'Torah, it doesn't just mean that you can't make a Tanai contrary to what it says in the Torah. It means much more. It means that there is no such a Tanai. And the Torah, the halacha views as if there was no Tanai said it at all. So if that's the case, why the Mishnah, which is clearly a Dovah Shebe Mamon, that why can't the Tanai against the Yerusha be a valid Tanai? Answers, the Gemara, Filo Tamer, Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree to the case of the Mishnah. Hasam, by the question that we spoke about, the Kaddish al Tanai, Yoda, the woman who got married knew what she's agreeing to, and she was Meichel. Kamachla. Hacha, in the case of the Yerusha, the son wasn't Meichel. And since he wasn't Meichel, that's not a case that Rabbi Yehuda says that the Tanai by Dovish B'Momin would be a valid Tanai. And as the Rashbam said, he says, even if the case were that the father told the son, I'm cutting you out of the will, I'm giving you a share less than you deserve, and the son doesn't say anything, so then it is a case that he was Meichel, says the Gemara, it's not considered that he's Meichel. Why? The halacha is that the son cannot say, the son didn't say anything, not because he's truly Meichel. The wife, if she didn't want to agree to those terms, she said, I'm not getting married to you under those conditions. Here, the son did not want to irritate the father, so he didn't say anything. But it's not clear that he meant to be Meichel. But now, so now the question is, under what circumstances can a Bechor walk away from his extra share? Can he do it before, in a way that he does it even before the father passed away? So the Ktzoi says that if he walks away, not by siluk, by saying, I'm walking away from what you're giving me, siluk will work even before the father passes away. And he brings a raya from the episode of Yaakov and Esav. We know Esav gave up his bechira. And the question is, how could Esav give up the bechira? Yitzchak was still very much alive at that time. But we look at the words of Esav, lo mazeh li bechira. So what those words mean, that he was being misalik himself, he's walking away from Bechayra, and says the choice, that's acceptable. The Nesivis says differently, the Nesivis says that even Siluk, as long as the father is alive, there's no way to walk away from the Bechayra. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar, if the father said, Ish Pelayni B'ni Bechayri, who? The father identifies a certain one of his children as the Bechor, who knows the Pishnayim, that individual will get the double share of Bechor. Ish Ploini Bechor Hu, he didn't use the word that he's my son. Ein Anoitel Pishnayim, then that son is not identified as the Bechor. He said Ish Ploini Bechor. Maybe what he meant to say was, Dilma Bruch de Imakam, he's a Bechor from his mother, and since he's a Bechor from his mother, not from his father, that's why he's not the only Bechor from the father's side is entitled to the Pishnayim. Says the Gemara, who does look made the Rabbi Bechana? There was an individual that came to Rabbi Bechana for Vamalei, and he said, Muksani Zeshu Bechor. I know that this individual is a Bechor, and therefore he's entitled to the Pishnayim. So if we'll get one more person to agree to this, we'll have two Edom. Amalei, so Rabbi Bechana said, how do you know that this individual is a Bechor? Menoy Yadat. How do you know that? Says the Gemara, the Karle Abba, I used to hear the father call him Burkhla Sikhla, my foolish Bechor. And since I heard the father call him with that name, it's a proof that he's a Bechor. Says the Gemara, but that isn't a proof. Dama Bukhra do Imahu. What he meant to say is that he's a Bechor from his mother. The Ka Bukhra da Ima, somebody who's a Bechor from the mother's side, Nami Bukhla Sikhla Karle. And the way the Sefer Torah Chaim explains the Gemara, he says, is that the fact that he called him a foolish Bechor seems to be an indication that he's a Bechor from the father. Because what makes a Bechor special? That he's going to get the double portion. The Torah treats him special. And if he doesn't act accordingly, so that's understandable when the father said, Bechor Sukhla, you should be better, and you're not acting that way. But if he's from the mother's side, so there's no expectation, so the whole statement doesn't mean anything. To which the Gemara says, no, that even a Bechor, who's only a Bechor from the mother's side, and therefore is not entitled to that double portion, and therefore is not automatically considered a better person, still is, the halacha is that sometimes if he's foolish, they call him Bechor Sechla. But then the Gemara brings a different episode. There was a person, Shu Bechor. I'm sure he's a Bechor. What makes you say so? When people used to come to his father's house and they were suffering from eye ailments, Amalu, this individual they were questioning if he's a Bechor or not, he would send him to Shichas, his son, and he would say, the Bechruhu, he's a Bechra, he's a Bechor, and the Masi Roika, the saliva of a Bechor, is considered a refuah for eye ailments. But again, ask the Gemara, why is that a proof? The Dilma, Bechruhu, maybe he was a Bechor from the mother's side. So why, just because he sent him to this individual, is it a proof that he's a Bechor from his father's side? To which the Gemara answers, Gemiri, Bukh the Abba Masi Reike, that the saliva of a Bechor from his father's side can cause a cure for eye ailments. Bukh the Ime, but a Bechor from his mother's side, Loi Masi Reike, does not have the ability to heal the eye ailment. So if he sent him to this individual, it's a proof that he was indeed a Bechor from the father's side. The Emre Emes was once traveling on a train, and a person came over to him complaining that he was suffering from eye ailment. And the person said, we learned the Gemara in the Masechta Bava Basra, we just learned that the saliva of a Bechor is good for, is a refuah, is a medication for somebody who has eye ailments. And at that point, the Emre Emes, and so he asked the Emre Emes, who was a Bechor, to put his saliva on his eye. And the Emre Emes said, just because I'm a Bechor doesn't mean I have an obligation to do this refuah for you. But at that time, the Emre Emes said, I understand a medrash in Parshas told us. After Esav came to Yitzchak, where Yaakov Avinu fooled Yitzchak and got the brachas, the medrash says that Reish Lakish Amar Hischel Mechanech Begroinoi, he started to cough. Command the Mechayev Zorik Roiv Mepiv, as somebody who spits out saliva, and he started to declare, Esav declared, Vamahach V'yakfeini, as Becharasi Lokach. So the Rambam said, I don't know what the Medrash is trying to tell me, that he was coughing and spitting saliva. So what happened was, said the Imrahamis, that Esav said to Yitzchak, how could you give the bracha to Yaakov? I am the Bechor. And if I am the Bechor, I am entitled to that. I am entitled whatever Yaakov did. So Esav said, so Yitzchak said, you know what? You may be right. But we know that Yitzchak had an eye ailment. Yitzchak, they couldn't see. So he told Esav, why don't you put some of your saliva on my eye, and let's see if it works, because the Gemara just taught us that the saliva of a Bechor heals somebody who has an eye ailment. So Esav says Reish Lakish did so, and nothing helped. So that was a proof that the sale that Esav had made of selling his Bechor to Yaakov was truly a valid sale. And therefore, he was no longer Bechor. And therefore, his claim to Yitzchak, I am the Bechor, and therefore I am entitled to the bracha falls away. There's an interesting question that the Gra discusses. What would be the halacha? He speaks about a case where a man got married to a woman, and that woman got pregnant. He divorced the wife and immediately married a second woman. And that second woman got pregnant as well. And even though she got pregnant second, she had a baby prematurely. And her baby, therefore, was born before the first wife's baby. So the first wife's baby was conceived first. But the second wife's baby was born first. Do we go after the time of conception, or we go after the time of birth? So the Gra says, the Pasuk, we quoted the Pasuk earlier in this year, says, Kisiyana lishtei noshim, ha'achas ahuva v'achas snua, v'yod le'bonim ahuva snua, v'hoya abena b'chol snua. The Torah speaks about the ahuva before the snua. But then, when it comes to having the baby, the Torah says that the Bechor was born to the Ben Asnua. So if the Ben Asnua came first, why doesn't the Torah speak about the Ben Asnua all along? Says the Gra, because the Torah is speaking about this case. He first married Ahuva, and she got pregnant. And then he married the Snua, and she also got pregnant, but she had a baby first. And the Torah says that we follow the one who was born first. And there's a proof to this, going back to Yaakov and Esav. Because Rashi tells us that Yaakov told Esav that although you were born first, I was created first, and that's why I was in the bottom, and I was higher up, and you were lower down, and that's why you came out first. That wasn't a winning claim. Yaakov wasn't the Bechor until, as we just learned, Yaakov actually bought the Bechor from Esav. So for here we see that conception is not the point that we follow in deciding who is the Bechor. What we follow in deciding who is the Bechor is who was born first.